So what exactly is the Iraq Study Group? Beyond the two chairmen, who else is working on it? And how exactly are they going about that task? For answers, we're joined by Thomas Ricks, military reporter for The Washington Post and author of Fiasco, The American Military Adventure in Iraq. Tom Ricks has written about the ISG, and he's also been interviewed as an expert by the group. He joins us now. Tom, why was this group commissioned, and who's on it? And if we could, let's take the why before the who.
It was created at the behest of some members of Congress, most notably Representative Frank Wolf of Northern Virginia, last spring. And at the time, it was seen as kind of a sop to Republicans in Congress, which is the White House saying, sure, 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 we know you're upset about Iraq. Go have your little study group. What you had over the last month, though, was this huge shift in American politics that suddenly has made this group much more important.
And who's working on the ISG?
You have essentially a bunch of old Washington hands. There are 10 members. It's 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, led by former Secretary of State, former White House Chief of Staff James Baker, and former Indiana Democratic Representative Lee Hamilton, who was chairman of the House International Relations Committee. The other members are Leon Panetta, also a former White House Chief of Staff, Lawrence Eagleburger, who was Secretary of State for a bit, Vernon Jordan, longtime Washington power broker, Edwin Meese, who was a White House counselor and then later Attorney General, former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, former Defense Secretary William Perry, and 2 former senators, Democrat Chuck Robb of Virginia and Republican Alan Simpson of Wyoming.
Is it sort of like the 9/11 Commission?
That's a good analogy. I think even a closer one is the Social Security Commission done in the early 1980s. When something became so politically difficult that there was just no way that the White House and Congress could deal with it, you have a bipartisan commission devise an answer and sell it to both those entities, maybe in such a fuzzy way that both have cover, or at least both can get out of the very sterile debate that they've locked themselves into.
So what exactly have they studied?
They really have immersed themselves in it. They've gone out to Iraq and talked to members of the Iraqi government. They've talked to dozens of area specialists, military specialists, even some journalists, running the ideological gamut. But it was, I think, skewed a little bit towards the American scene. Really what I think they were trying to do was figure out, how do we get out of this deadlock we find ourselves in this country on Iraq? How do you actually unify the country in some form?
There's so much talk in Washington right now about the Iraq Study Group, anticipation, very high expectations. At this point, have the expectations evolved sort of beyond what the group originally expected or planned to do when they were originally put together?
Oh, I think it's entirely different. Suddenly, as a result of these changes in politics in this country and the intensification of violence and deterioration of security in Iraq, this has become the be-all and end-all. Are the expectations too high? It depends on what you expect. If you're expecting a silver bullet, a magic answer for Iraq, no, they don't have it. If you're expecting some sort of brokering of a political compromise that allows this country to approach Iraq with some unity, that's possible, because if you're ever going to get it, it's this group of people who know how to do it.
Tom Ricks, thanks so much. It's been good talking to you.
Thank you.
Thomas Ricks is the military reporter for The Washington Post. He's also the author of Fiasco, The American Military Adventure in Iraq.